Bhagavate Vasudevaya. since you're simply trying to get something done, it appears to be working quite nicely. Does that make sense? You boost your ego, so you're confident, you go out, you get things done, and so in your mind it's all happening, but what you're not noticing is your relationships with others are also, means they're not happening. Other things, you're getting observable results done, that's happening. But if that's all you want in life, then you're doing fine. But if you want relationships, then that's another topic. Does this make sense? Yes, no? So, therefore, that's not actually the solution. The solution is being aware, right? Being humble, being comfortable with your position. I am servant of Krishna. Basically, the nature of the soul is servant. Right? That's how the soul actually is satisfied. Right? That's its natural position. Means you have Radha and Krishna, they perform activities. The jiva assists in those activities. Right? So assisting means serving. Right? That's the natural position. The jiva is never in Krishna's position, is never in Radharani's or the other major devotee's position. The jiva is always assisting in those interactions. Right? Krishna's interacting with Mother Yashoda, the jivas assist that. So he's interacting with Radharani, they assist that. Does that make sense? So when one is comfortable with that position of servant, right, then it's very strong. Right? The servant doesn't mean something less. Because we see is that this principle of humility, tolerance, not respecting others, not expecting anything in return, not expecting respect, Krishna functions. That's why he's making the point. Right? Krishna's coming as Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya is Krishna taking the root of Radharani. So if it works for Radharani, why won't it work for anybody else, right? It should work. It's not bad. She's the supreme of all living entities. So if it works for her, it definitely can work for anyone who's expanded from her. Right? So that means all the rest of the creation, all the living entities are expanding from her. Does this make sense? So this position, if one is comfortable in that, then one is very secure. Right? As soon as you use ego, then others then have to use ego. If you're very careful and keep it balanced, but then it's very, very delicate. Right? Because then you mean their ego has to come up. You don't want it to become bigger. You'll be insulted. You don't want yours to be bigger. They'll be insulted. And so generally the easiest way is then pick a third party to show your superiority over, right? And then that means, in other words, two allies can have a common enemy. You know what I'm saying? So it's a political position you put yourself in. Therefore, you guys are great because those guys over there are weeds, you know? So then, but that's not a very powerful or very deep platform for relationship either. Does this make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that these techniques are not used. So the best is humility, and that humility means you're confident in your position as servant of Krishna. So there's no lack of confidence. Right? So there's no insecurity. In fact, you're the most secure because that's actually what our position is. Anything other than this actually, one is insecure because at any time it could be displaced, right? But humility, you know, and being a servant, you know, what's going to replace that? You know what I'm saying? What's going to prove it wrong? Does that make sense? But if you think I'm a great guy, a big guy, but then somebody else is bigger. You know, I got the cool car, someone's got a cooler car, I got great clothes, someone's got greater clothes. You know, I got a good position, someone's got a bigger position. You know, so there's always something to displace whatever one would establish oneself as, you know, something special. But if one's humble, then one is very confident because that's the position you can always be in. That makes sense. It's said in the Shastra that the person who you know, a contemporary example, that principle is being used, but it won't necessarily be thought of like that. Let us say, okay, now they're having this Olympics, so then they're carrying this torch around, right? It's going all over the world, and it'll get to wherever it's supposed to go. Now, the torch is what's important, right? Because the torch is what starts the game, focuses on the torch. Somebody carries that torch, right? So in other words, they're serving the torch. Does that make sense? But because they are a good servant, they are serving the torch, therefore they're on all the news, all the cameras, everything, they're the center of attention. But now if they kind of sit there and, you know, kind of, you know, talk about, you know, put the torch down, yeah, it's really great, you know, doing all, you know, everyone would think, who's this jerk? But because they're holding the torch, they make the torch prominent, they keep a humble mood, you know, the torch becomes the main thing, therefore they're glorious, and they're on every camera that there is on the planet, and every news channel. Does that make sense? That's more along the lines of the basic understanding. Right? You're serving someone great, then you're doing great stuff. You're great activities, but it's not your activity. Right? It's Krishna's activity, it's God's activity. So humility is a very good and very powerful position. Right? Why we're saying this is because if this can't be understood, you will fail in your relationships. Because you think, one may think, oh, humble means I'm lesser, humble means I'm not masculine, humble means I'm not, you know, socially acceptable, or, you know, have a good status. No. Men will say, you know, if the husband's submissive to his right wife, then, you know, he's emasculated, you know, what kind of man, you know, I'm not standing up to a man, you know, what does that mean? Stand up to a man. Okay, stand up alone, right? Family walks off, he's standing alone, okay? Great man, you know, cool. Right? Does that make sense? So, that's the problem. Is that, you know, we hear this, so philosophically we understand this very clearly, but when we apply it in our life, it starts to degrade very quickly. It means our understanding. Right? So, this is very important. If you're humble, then you can be tolerant. Right? Because material world means problem. Right? You're mixing various personalities, then there'll always be differences. There'll always be differences. So then, that requires tolerance. There's no tolerance. Tolerance basically means it's a combination, because you see it's between respect and humility. That I am humble and there's respect for the other person, therefore there's tolerance. That makes sense? You can only be tolerant if you're humble. Then if you're humble and tolerant, then you can be respectful, because otherwise then you'll be intolerant, so you won't be respectful. Right? And if you're not respectful, then how is the other person going to respond? Right? They're not going to respond nicely. So if you're respectful towards the other, respectful doesn't mean on reverence. Respectful means that according to their position, according to your relationship with them, you appreciate that, right? Because all relationships are based on the Shanta Rasa, right? Shanta means appreciation, right? And you appreciate something about the person. But there's no, it's only appreciation, therefore there's no service, right? But the appreciation is the interaction, means it's the position, it's kind of, it's the status. That's why sometimes the acharyas don't even classify it as a rasa, right, in its own. But it's the basis of the others. Unless there's appreciation, how will that deepen to become service? Right? Service deepens, then you get friendship. Friendship deepens, then you get that that deepens and you get the conjugal rasa. Right? Does that make sense? So that means as soon as there is lack of appreciation, what happens to the other four rasas? Do they actually exist? No. So now that might answer the question, what happened to your friendship or what happened to your marriage? You understand? Because there is no appreciation. So appreciation can only come if there's humility and tolerance. So as soon as you become intolerant, then there's no respect. There's no respect, that means you're not appreciating your position. So you don't have a relationship. Right? So that's the whole point Lojitanya is giving it. These then establish relationship. The whole point of the whole Krishna conscious movement is to establish relationship. Right? It means, of course, ultimately the relation with God, but the devotee and all living entities. You know what I'm saying? If the creation is Krishna, that means then you have to be able to appreciate the creation. Because it's Krishna. If you love Krishna, you have to love his creation, right? Krishna loved me, loved my dog. Right? So does that make sense? Right. And then, in this, then one doesn't expect any respect, you know, one's not looking for respect in return. Because that means that's the element of sacrifice, right? So up to now you perform your duties properly, austerity is there, but then sacrifice is what makes it then really work properly. Because if I do all these things and I expect it back, then it's not a very strong relationship. Does that make sense? Right? Like you have persons, you know, the ideal is that you respect others. Okay, let's start the other way. Means you have the person who respects no one and expects everyone to respect him. Everybody, basically from any, you know, culture, understand this is not good. Right? Then you have someone who doesn't respect others, but doesn't expect any respect back either. Right? What was that? Who's the guy in the barrel, the Greek guy? Daya?
Hmm?
But it means there was this Greek guy, intellectual in a barrel, that right? Used to live in a barrel. And then, like, he was it Alexander? Or it was somebody like that, like Alexander the Great or something. And Alexander heard about it, because he was such a great intellectual and like that, philosopher. So then he came with his ministers, you know, his generals and all that. And, you know, they spoke a bit. And afterwards, he was very pleased. And Alexander, you know, can I do anything for you? He said, yes, you could kind of move aside. You're blocking the sun, so I'm feeling cold, you know, like that. And so then Alexander was, you know, satisfied and walked off. And then all the ministers, oh, they got a distance, you know, respectful distance. They all started kind of laughing and all that. Just, wow, this guy's a real idiot, you know. And said, you know, here, Alexander the Great, you know, the emperor of the world, just offered him anything he wanted, and all he wanted, you know, was to move aside like that. What an idiot. And then, Alexander said, if I wasn't Alexander the Great, I'd want to be him. Like that. So, here you have someone, he doesn't respect others, he doesn't expect any respect back. You know, so you get that amongst, you know, some intellectuals and like that. Then you have the person who respects others, but you better respect them back. Like that. So that's very common. You're dignified, you know, kind of like upper, you know, how you say, you know, higher in the cultural, you know, levels, or the kshatriyas, you know, the kings. They're very respectful, but you have to respect them back. You know? Like that. And, you know, I think it's also another example, since we're on Alexander, you know, the similar kind of thing. He caught one king, they had a battle, he captured the king, and then he asked, when he was brought before him in his court, then Alexander asked the king, he said, so how should I dignified, you know, they're very dignified, they're very noble, whatever, but it has to be reciprocal, right? So these all make sense, right? These, you know, in modern culture make sense, these three. But the fourth one, where you'll offer respect to everyone else, don't expect any respect back, that just doesn't exist. Why? Because only devotees can do that. That's the position. That's considered special. Right? That you're considered a saintly person. So that position then means that you'll be committed to, performing your duties within a relationship, and you're not expecting anything in return. By doing that, then everything becomes very dynamic, because the relationship is very, very strong. Because then you simply are committing yourself to serving, assisting the other person. Yes. Oh, you could say that. You could say that ultimately, yes, everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, so that would be a proper vision. Or you have other aspects of relationship, protection. protection, so therefore protection, you deal properly with them, you respectfully deal. So in other words, whatever they identify themselves as, that's how you deal with them. If they think, you know, I'm a, you know, very qualified, respectable, well-placed business person, that's how you deal with them. Because that's who they think they are. Relationship means you know who you are, you know who the other person is, and then you interact. So because they think they are that, you respect them for that. Same time you're a devotee, so therefore they respect you for being some variety of like religious person. Does that make sense? So this element where we're respectable and we don't respect others, that's very neophytic, right? Because we do that, then basically that is the I am the Lord, I am the controller. It's actually just using our philosophy to better your own position. Because I'm a devotee, therefore I'm special. Everybody else is a schmuck, therefore I can rub it in their face. Right? So we don't do that. We're very respectful, right? Does that make sense? You know, like, we go someplace, and okay, let us say, whatever is the person thinks they are, whatever their position of authority, right? You know, it's like you go to a store, right, and you're a devotee. So you go there and there's security guys at the store. And so, you know, as a devotee you could say, you know, I'm better than the security guy. So, but that door is only for exit, right? But it's on the side where you are, and I want to get this done quick for Krishna and everything. So I want to go through the exit door. The security guy says no. Right? So I can fight with him, make a whole mess. I won't get through the door anyway because it's another 20 security guards to back him up. And, you know, it'll look embarrassing. And, you know, how you say, those people then won't have a great, how you say, idea of devotees. They don't have any social understanding, social culture, anything like that. And, you know, the arrogance. All this, plus at the same time, is, you know, these guys could potentially become devotees. So if I'm talking on the preacher, then why I would want to upset them, because maybe they could also take up devotional service. But if they've been unimpressed that if this is what a devotee is, why I should take up, then they have nothing to offer me. Right? So therefore the devotee goes to there, and then the security says, you know, excuse me, this is the exit door, you have to go around to the other door. It's, oh, excuse me, sorry. And you go around. That's a devotee. The one that sits there and fights and knows this is for Krishna's service, that person is not representing Krishna or devotional service. They may think they are, but actually it's their own false ego that I'm a devotee, I'm superior, therefore I can, you know, do whatever I want. But that's material conditioning. That's not actual devotional service. That's not the bold preacher. That's not, you know, the dynamic devotee or the sinha. That's just an uncultured person. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that devotees, wherever Prabhupada went, there was one, I forget, one devotee was some, may have been one of the servants of that. The comment of everybody who met Prabhupada, any level, any status, was, if nothing else, this man was a real gentleman. Even if they didn't understand his transcendental position, his spiritual position, they just, he was a gentleman, so everybody was impressed. Like that. So that's devotee. You know, because if you're humble, you're tolerant, you're respectful, you're a gentleman. Right? Humble, you know, that's what I'm saying, it's not the Western just rumbling in the street and all that. No, you're a gentleman. You know, I'm servant, therefore I dress properly. You mean, like, have you ever seen a butler walk around in rags? Right? A chauffeur? You know, anybody who is, you know, labeled technically a servant, are they dressed badly? No, they represent who they are serving. Right? You're driving a limousine, you know, you don't show a pair of dungarees. You know, you're wearing a, you know, proper, you know, outfit. vision, it's also followed like that. Difficulty is nowadays there's no tradition, so there's nothing to fall back on. Sometimes people have no experience of it. But that's the thing. Butler is a perfect servant. Right? They're always working for the welfare of whoever they're working for. You know? Does that make sense? They're always willing. So the devotee doesn't bother people. People appreciate them. They have other means to get through. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's very special like that. So that is then, well, that is this combination is so perfect. Who wouldn't want to be with somebody who has these four qualities? So that's the idea of sadhana bhakti, is to develop these. So, you know, we're not claiming we have them when we start, but if we understand this is what we're working towards, then we'll move in that direction. But if we think that I'm a devotee, I'm superior to everyone there, and therefore I can do whatever I want with the nonsense, stinky, smelly karmas, then we won't develop these qualities. We just won't. In Germany, the devotees tried that, you know, stinky, smelly karmi thing. And one day, I think it was like 70 or 100, you know, riot police showed up at the temple and took all the devotees away. So that was how much the German populace appreciated being treated like a bunch of stinky, smelly karmis. So it doesn't work.
That verse from Anna B, how do we, I was having a talk with one devotee, and there was some sort of bitterness towards something that happened in ISKCON or some problem. So how do we use that verse in our lives towards ISKCON, you know, we don't become overcritical or cynical, that we...
How do we use it to not become overcritical or cynical with the society? Well, first you have to start with the mission. See, his mission is Lord Caitanya's mission that then handed it down to us from Sri Rupa Goswami. So, you know, that Sri Caitanya Mano Vishnu Stapatam Jain Bhutavaya Swami Bhutavaya Vedavi Swapatam Kam is that this mission is Lord Caitanya's mission, his perfect mission. Perfect teachings, perfect culture, perfect everything. But because it's meant for everyone, then technically that makes it a volunteer society. Because every living entity actually is naturally part of this mission. So then, right, you know, up to here there's no problem, right? And then volunteer means everybody has to be allowed to come. Now, in coming, they come with all their different conditioned natures. From these conditioned natures, then they will have, different strengths or weaknesses. And due to these strengths or weaknesses, then they more or less expertly perform some of the activities of the sadhana bhakti of devotional service. You know, their understanding the philosophy, their understanding their application of the culture. So then, because people will make mistakes in that, because they're coming, they're not perfect, and it is sadhana, it is practice, it is understood in practice, people make mistakes. Right? You know, so that's the point, is that because people make mistakes in a perfect mission due to their own imperfections, it does not in any way reflect upon the mission itself. So what one's speaking about is the mentalities or application, that those are not very useful. And you're not actually, it's not the mission itself, it's not the position itself. Those are perfect. Someone's application in it, just like the position of king is perfect, it's the best way to manage something. But if you have someone like Vena in that position, then there's a problem. But it doesn't mean that the position of the monarch that's not, they're not removed from devotional service, they're just removed from a position that they may not be able to properly apply their conditioned nature to, they're not properly engaged, they're not able to engage others like that. So you readjust them to a position in which they will be dynamically, body, mind, and words engaged in the Lord's service, right? Or if it's a matter that is their natural position, just if, but their behavior is not in a purified state, then increase the purificatory elements, don't decrease them. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? In other words, hearing and chanting and all these are purifying, so to reduce those is not, you know, taking darshan and deities is purifying, to reduce them. So you have to be very, very careful that in dealing in this way that you are properly judging, you're properly judging the element of how someone will best be engaged in Krishna's service. That's what Prabhupada was expert at, is finding something for them, how to properly engage someone. So if they weren't properly engaged, you know, you make an adjustment till they are. But that was the purpose. So to use this pat middle cute hands, you know, kind of say formula that, oh, we're not Prabhupada, so we can't do what he does. But then we're not Prabhupada, we're not in a position to change his formulas either. Because unless you know what he was doing, how can you say that that's not what he's doing? He was chanting Hare Krishna, we're not Prabhupada, so we can't chant. You know, it's all it is just a matter of we don't want to use our intelligence, find our positions, we just want to emotionally react according to the politically correct winds that are blowing at this present moment. End translation. You know what I'm saying? So that doesn't work. Prabhupada said, do as I do. So he didn't say, you know, you're so qualified you can change it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. You come as close as you can, but you have to understand what was going on. Prabhupada had a manager. He's a good manager. As a manager, he was fully absorbed. He was doing well. He has a problem. Then where is he going to fully absorb himself in Krishna consciousness to purify himself of impure consciousness other than management? Because that's how he's fully engaged. That is understanding nature. In other words, you work according to conditioned nature. Right? Conditioned nature, then, if you're dealing with, means you're dealing with dharma. Right? Because dharma is dealing with both the transcendental nature and is dealing with the conditioned nature. So if you don't understand nature, technically you can't lead. Right? If you're only working on the principles of pranayama, of morality, justice, economics, you're not actually qualified to lead. Right? That's what Duryodhana used in connection with the Pandavas. He used dharma to run his kingdom. You never hear any complaint that his kingdom is not running perfectly. But in his dealings with the Pandavas, he used niti. Dhritarashtra used niti exclusively. Duryodhana used niti. And we see it destroyed them. It worked immediately. They got good results for 14 years. But at the end of 14 years, they were destroyed. While Yudhishthira only functioned on dharma, right? And would use niti in relationship to dharma, not exclusively on its own without dharma. And even though he had trouble for 14 years, at the end of the 14 years, he was back on the top of the pile, which was his natural position. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is you understand what is the inherent nature of somebody in the way that their transcendental position and their conditional position. And then apply the situations that could be, say, that person you don't, you know, but they're, you know, they want to be more involved in the temple and all that. So you get them involved in their spare time, but you don't let them move in the temple. Because if they move in the temple, then they'll just stop working altogether and they'll manifest their laziness. And then they won't actually do more service by being in the temple. Because they're lazy. Does that make sense? So therefore, it would appear, oh, why are they outside? So to make it easier for them, get another four or five lazy persons and let them all live in the same house, share the rent and everything. Then it begins to freeze them more time for doing service. Right? Does that make sense? So you're acting according to nature. Someone who's very dynamic, someone who's that, and then they're in the temple, then you get full-time service. People, others are inspired by their service attitude, right? So then you're getting the most from it. While the others, then they're engaging. So you know, according to their nature, right? Prabhupada, like numbers, they wouldn't be able to move into the temple, they wouldn't be able to do those things, but they're making money. Money is valuable to them. You're supposed to, you see, 64 items, give something that is valuable to you, to the deity. So therefore, money is valuable, they give that to the deity. They get the same benefit as those who are fully engaged. Right? Prabhupada says, the person that gave the money for performing the puja gets the same benefit as the person who actually does the puja. Right? And according to Pancharatra, then who, you know, performs the arti, everybody who watches the arti gets the same benefit. You know, it's not that you have to do the arti to get the benefit of the arti, but you just have to see it. So, in other words, probably engage them. You know, then they would come to the temples, the dham, stay in the guest house for 3 days. Within those 3 days, they would attend the temple program, associate with devotees, hear philosophy, talks on Krishna consciousness. You know, they would, you know, how you say, you know, would deepen their understanding, their inspiration, their interest. They'd go home, and then they would be more Krishna conscious. They would practice more, and in this way, slowly, slowly, then they all become devotees. That was the idea of light membership. It wasn't a collection method. It does that on the side, but that's secondary. The primary thing was, is here is someone who now can, you know, take advantage of the association of devotees. It was a way to enable, you know, business persons to take advantage of the association of devotees and of the temple. That's what it was for. Does that make sense? And then such a person then naturally will help more and do more service. So as he'll study more, he'll come and associate more, but he will also, because he has money, he will give more money. So you don't have to make unlimited members. You just cultivate those you have. Right? Because they will provide the more money. Does that make sense? So we can see as, you know, or Prabhupada concept of book distribution is you're giving knowledge. People are pleased with that, and therefore they give you a dakshina, they give you a donation. You're not selling a book. You're giving knowledge and people reciprocate with the donation. Does that make sense? You're benefiting them with this knowledge, so they reciprocate that. Does that make sense? So that perspective, that then we see is it's a whole different idea. So in our perspective is different. That doesn't mean that the actual mission has changed. It just means we need to, you know, purify or adjust our perspective that comes in line with, you know, what was originally given by Lord Chaitanya and Goswami and given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Right? So the mission's always there. In other words, there's the principle of it, and then there's, you know, the application, I mean, how it's functioning. That makes sense. And then another angle would be the institution establish those as the way you do it. Right? Does that make sense? Means, you know, so many persons try to go out and spread Gaudiya Vaishnavism around the world. Didn't happen. Srila Prabhupada went out and made it happen. Even after he made it happen, then still these other missions, it wasn't happening. But then, as soon as some of Srila Prabhupada's followers were assisting these other missions, it worked. Right? That's an institution. Right? That's why it's there, because it works. So the rules of the institution are to make the mission work properly. You know, in other words, the mission, the attitude of the mission, the purpose of the mission, all those things. That's what it's for, is to assist that. It's not to be used separately, you know, and coldly, that in a way that doesn't apply to the individual or like that. Does that make sense? That's not how it's to be used. That's called bureaucracy. And bureaucrats are assistants to leaders. Bureaucrats never, ever replace leaders. They want to, in fact, they want bureaucrats like to get rid of leadership because of its unpredictable nature. Bureaucrats like everything to change every day, day in and day out. But as soon as bureaucrats are on the top, everything falls apart. Right? So leadership is there. We see Prabhupada would cultivate leaders, not bureaucrats. Right? Does that make sense? So all these different things then are there. It's just a matter of, means you have a mission, that mission is then, you know, made into the form of an institution. And therefore, if it's practiced properly, it works perfectly. If it's not practiced properly, how can it work? That doesn't shed any fault on the mission. It's just individuals who are applying themselves in the mission, they have misunderstood or, you know, for whatever reason are not, but it in no way makes the mission any less valuable than it was. Diamond is still a diamond, whether it's nicely polished and nicely set or it's dropped in the mud and you can't really tell what it is, it's still a diamond. All you have to do is wash it off. Does that make sense?
Alright, Jim. So you say that like the mud values of scriptures passes, so is it that we should be saying actually probably respect the non-devotees. The only way to really respect them is to make them favorable towards the devotees and give them some mercy in Krishna consciousness.
Basically, favorable towards devotees, but it means ideally they should know this devotee, but if nothing else, just that they think these are nice people. That's the thing, is that if nothing else, even if they don't have such spiritual acumen or they're not that conscious or anything, they just understand, they just know that, those nice people, like that. If you can give them more, that's nice, but if not, at least they come away with that impression. These were cultured people, gentlemen, deal nicely, like that. Because because the idea is you're trying to cultivate people, so that's always true. You know, it's nice, it means it's according to the position that they're in. Sometimes we may use, you know, different methods, like we were discussing last night. One devotee, when he would lecture, he'll use a lot of, he'll keep it very light, use a lot of jokes and all that. And that makes it a favorable environment in which people are comfortable in that. So many ways to be used, but the main point is that people are impressed that these are nice people, you know, someone that you wouldn't mind associating with or anything. So if one is cultured just even a moment's association, they're impressed, you not that you have to do anything special, just the behavior and culture and respect is there. Because nowadays hardly anybody respects anybody. So if you're respectful, behave properly, you know. Because they're karma, we don't fight with them. We're doing something, the police come up. We deal with them nicely. If someone else comes up, we deal with them properly. And that itself is so impressive. Because nowadays, you know, there's hardly any care for others or any respect for others. Like that in itself will just make them favorable. It's not a sentiment, it's not I'm being good, I'm being nice. No, it's still based on the philosophy that all living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, therefore I should deal with them properly, you know, according to their conditioning, right? The living entity thinks they're a horse, so you deal with them how you deal properly with the horse. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like when the dog was sitting there, you know, they had it sitting around like that. I went up to it, sat down, and, you know, looked it in the eye, started preaching straight philosophy, you know, we're not this body and all this kind of things like that. Dog's looking at me the whole time. After about 30 seconds, the dog got up, walked over 3 or 4 feet, and sat back down again. You know, it's just like a dog. I'm not into philosophy, right? You know, so, okay, so that didn't work, so try. But, you know what I'm saying? In other words, you relate to the living entity how he thinks he is. Right? You know, they're a salesperson at the counter, you deal with them nicely because they're the salesperson, they represent the company. They think they're a big businessman, you deal with them as they are a big businessman. You know, whatever it is like that. You know, you just deal with them as a security man, so therefore you respect that that's what his job is, so you don't bother them. You know, it's like, you know, you meet a kid, then, you know, you deal with them nicely because they're a kid. You know, you deal with an old baby, you know, you talk nicely with them, you know, as a family, as a kid. You know, like this, it works. That's what the meaning of Rupa Goswami says, don't be neglectful in ordinary dealings. It doesn't mean that we're mundane, it's that these people identify that way, that's what they expect. So that's just socially how you deal with them. Then on top of that, if there's an opportunity for Krishna consciousness, then you add that makes it perfect. Does that make sense? So like that, then devotees are gentlemen. Like that's the one thing that the people should be impressed. But here's, you know, imagine something nice. Shri Prabhupada, keep that coming in power of the ministry.